You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
Of the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz at the Movies.
Greetings, everybody. Bing is for doing, and what are we doing? We are doing AfterBuzz TV's At the Movies, and today we're here to review the new Steven Soderbergh film, suggestively his final film, Side Effects. Joining me, as always, first of all, sitting to my immediate right, well, I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves. So, Crystal Lee, why don't you start us off?
Hey, guys. Crystal Lee Kennedy.
Hello. I'm Dan Deavy from thecinemasource.com.
Hey, guys. I'm Jessica King.
And since I forgot to mention it, my name's John Campia. How's everybody doing? All right. So, we're talking about Side Effects here. A absolutely star-studded cast, an amazing cast. And the first thing that jumps out to me, and this is the person I want to start with, she's really the one that carries the film, in my opinion, the whole film revolves around her, is Rooney Mara. Now, for people who aren't really familiar with Rooney Mara, we just recently saw her looking very different in the North American version of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, something that I very unpopular say was better than the actual original version. And I thought she was just fantastic in it. So, Dan, let's start with you. What were your impressions of Rooney Mara? How do you think she did carrying a film like this?
You know, I have to be honest and admit that I'm not a fan of Rooney Mara. I don't get it. I feel kind of like she tends to suck all of the energy out of every scene that she's in. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's what they're going for. I don't know. But I was never Girl with a Dragon Tattoo. I was not a fan. She just doesn't emote enough for me. And I feel like if she was going for that whole, you know, it's all under the surface and you just see a little bit of it, it doesn't get there for me. So I'm not a Mara fan.
Jessica, what about you?
When the movie first started, I was kind of under the impression that, you know, she was going to be this wife that had waited for him and, like, loving and cutesy. And the first thing that ran through my mind was, like, why is she in this role? This is so not the role for her. Because I obviously didn't realize what character she would be playing throughout the film. But I think she did a fantastic job. I was blown away. I quickly switched my thoughts, and I thought she did great.
Crystal Lee?
I agree. I think she was amazing in the role. She nailed her acting of the depression and the anxiety and the mannerisms and the things that you talk about and go through, and she nailed it for me.
Yeah, Dan, I appreciate the way you described it, but there's a word for that. It's called subtlety. Actresses have. And that's what sold me on her right from the get-go in this film. Look, you're talking about any type of an emotional problem, whether it's depression or something else. Many, many lesser actors will ham that up. They will overplay that, you know, assuming the stupidity of the audience, thinking, oh, I gotta paint this by numbers for the audience. To me, she absolutely nailed it. She nailed it so well, I felt uncomfortable watching her perform it. And that's generally a bad thing. You don't want to feel uncomfortable. But watching her going as this woman going through, well, seemingly going through this problem, I felt emotionally uncomfortable. And that's how well she sold it for me. But I can see where you're coming from with that whole sucking the energy out of the scene.
Yeah, because like, you know, when you talk about subtlety, which is great when it's done properly. I mean, you've got Jessica Chastain is the ultimate example of that in Zero Dark Thirty. Her performance was just tiny, tiny levels and changes throughout so that by the end, she has completely transformed as a character, even though it was never in everyone's faces. But the whole time you're watching her do that, you can feel with her. With Rooney Mara, for me, for some reason, there's just no energy. There's nothing. I don't see anything behind the depressed stare or the, oh, now I'm sleepwalking and killing. I'm sure I'm in the minority on this, but
I disagree on that because I feel like in this movie particularly, she played so many different emotions because it wasn't just the depressed, you know, somber girl. She was in love and she had a totally different love with the Catherine Zeta-Jones character and the Channing Tatum character. We saw some peaks of like happiness, some peaks of anger. Like we saw such a range of emotion in this film that was one thing that really impressed me about her.
And let's not forget, from beginning to end, what her character is doing throughout the movie. Someone that has that in them is going to suck the life and energy out of everyone around them. Mm. So I think that she played that kind of energy vampire really well.
I think your observation brings up a really great point. And this is my favorite thing about film and performances and movies as a whole, is that my argument has always been that all film is art. And like a piece of art hanging on a wall, you can have 10 people standing around it, in this case, Rooney Mara's performance. We can all stand around it and look at the exact same thing, but we each see something different. It strikes us differently. When you saw it, you just saw an energy vampire, to coin your phrase. For me, I saw depth, but it's interesting that that's the way you perceive that. Okay, let's move on to the next female main performance in this, which is Catherine Zeta-Jones.
See, now we've got something we can talk about.
Why don't you start us off there?
Okay, and I'm so glad that we're talking about this, assuming everyone's seen the film, because when I did my review for it, I couldn't talk about anything. I couldn't say anything. So
spoiler alert for those of you who are watching.
Big spoiler. Okay, Catherine Zeta-Jones as a psychiatrist, loved it. I love her all the time. She really, I don't think I've ever seen her in anything where I've said, oh God, phoned it in, or oh, that was an interesting or terrible. This was great. The only thing I didn't buy is her as a lesbian. Did you guys buy that whole lesbian relationship? Because there was something about it, the kiss and the what, it was just like, ooh, girl, you like boys. You definitely like boys.
This goes back to the Rooney Mara argument. I think the reason I bought it so hook, line, and sinker is because she's supposed to be a woman who has never been with a woman. She's supposed to be a woman who's probably never even seen herself that way. Mm. And that's why, for me personally, when that's revealed in the film, it has the impact on me that I think Soderbergh wanted it to have, because it struck her as much as a surprise at first. That's what they allude to at any rate, as it struck me. I'm like, wait a minute. But that's probably how it would play out. Like, Crystal, your impression of it.
I thought it was great. She was like the ice queen through the movie, and I appreciated that so much because I love seeing her that way. And I totally bought her as a lesbian. And especially once they gave that flashback of her being just kind of wanting someone to understand and love and feel, and it's something that's uncharted territory for her. So she was a little uncomfortable. But in the end, we see that she's not so uncomfortable. So, I mean, I totally bought it.
Jessica?
I have to agree with you, Dan. I did not buy her as a lesbian. I loved her character in the movie. I always loved Catherine Zeta-Jones. And I love the fact that even when she's not trying to play the sexy, sultry character that she oftentimes does, she still, like, exudes that. But that the lesbian scene was just like, she just seemed very uncomfortable. And I understand where you're coming from, John, and that was how it was supposed to be. But I totally bought Rooney Mara as a lesbian. I just didn't get that from Catherine.
I think one of the things, though, when you're talking about, we say we don't buy her as a lesbian. Remember, she wasn't a lesbian. Mm-mm. I mean, for her whole life. And one of the things that I did appreciate, it's kind of like the first love syndrome. You know, when a young teenage girl has her first love with a guy, she'll do almost anything. She's almost bought. Same thing going the other way. You're almost completely sold into that person. You'll do almost anything for them right away. And it's like, because this was her first experience with another woman, emotionally, physically, whatever, with Rooney Mara, I suddenly understood and got why she was willing to do whatever for Rooney Mara to get her out. I mean, she was cohorts in crime with her, sure, but she also wanted her out of prison. She also wanted this. She was so emotionally hooked on that. And I think the whole first experience of it is what lends itself to that. So, yeah, me personally, it hit me out of left field. I wasn't expecting it, but once it did and it settled in me for a few minutes, I was like, yeah, I buy this.
And it made her look vulnerable, which we did not see throughout the film, which I really liked, because it really showed her vulnerability, where Rooney Mara, it showed that this is something that she had planned. She took advantage of a situation. There were no feelings there, I don't believe. And I believe that she saw an opportunity and jumped on it, literally.
I think the thing that's most fun about this film was during the press conference for it, Catherine Zeta-Jones was talking about the lesbian thing without actually talking about it. And she said, well, let me just say this. Michael just finished his film with Soderbergh, and he got to make out with Matt Damon. And she said that Matt had told her, well, you know, when I'm kissing Michael, I'm really thinking of you. Which I thought that song. I enjoyed that more than the entire movie altogether.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about our male lead in the film, which is Jude Law. And I'll start off here with this one. Jude Law, first of all, strikes me as this is the guy who cannot win. And I'm not just talking about his character. I'm talking about Jude Law. All this guy ever does is bring Academy-level performance after Academy-level performance in his career, and either the movies he in suck, or they're great films that don't get any attention, or something else is in the film to overshadow it. Like, how many, like, it was a small role, granted. How many people talked about Jude Law in Hugo? Nobody talked about Jude Law. But when you watch the time that he is in there, it's a breathtaking performance. I completely bought into him. He's in Contagion. Terrible film. But his performance was wonderful. And I feel like there are some people who are talking pretty negatively, and we'll get to our overall impressions of Side Effects a little bit later. I think a lot of people, once again, who look badly at Side Effects are going to unfairly reattach. We talked about this beforehand. They're going to attach the quality of the film to whether or not his performance was good. And I thought he was brilliant. And he was, now granted, he's the one character in this that doesn't, our perception of him does not change. With Rooney Mara, our perception of her by design changes throughout the film. Catherine Zeta-Jones, our perception of her changes by design throughout the film. Jude Law doesn't. He is the character we are given. And I think that's a great balance to everything else going on around him. And he portrays his character, the almost smug self-confidence, good-natured, albeit, with the feeling of hopelessness and lost and despair and confusion and anger and rage. And all these things evolve as the film progresses. And I was completely blown away by it. Jessica, what about you?
I was team Jude Law. I get emotionally, I really get emotionally attached to certain characters. And I got attached to Jude Law right away. I was voting for him the whole time, and I was really getting angry when I started to see all the bad things that were happening to him, because I hate it when bad things happen to good people in the movies. So, like, from, you know, his wife not giving him a chance to explain, to losing his job, his partners not giving him an opportunity. Like, I loved his character in this film, and I was rooting for him the whole time, so I was glad that he, you know, persevered and pushed through as if it's like a true story. No, but I loved his performance in this
Dan?
Movie.
I would one day like to fail the way that Jude Law fails, because that's pretty great. Pretty crazy. I love him. I think he's great. I think he's charming. I think he's a fantastic actor. I think in this movie, and I'm sure, again, I'm in the minority, I think he suffers because of really poor writing. I think that there were a lot.
We're gonna get to it.
There were opportunities for a lot of different things to happen with his character. Let's take just one scene, for example. There's the scene when he goes to his friend, who's the doctor, and says, I need some Adderall just to get me through so I can focus on this and figure out the problem. There was never any mention of him being on any types of medications beforehand. And after that scene, it's never brought up again. So the whole idea of him unraveling just didn't, I mean, it would have made sense if he was unraveling, if he was suddenly, you know, going out of his mind saying, wait, maybe I'm the crazy one. Is this in my head? Or if anything like that happened. Instead, it was dropped there, forgotten about, and then moving on. So there was nothing. Well, again, I think his performance was fine. There was nothing about what was happening that made me really invested in hoping that he came out on top and he was OK.
See, I think you're missing the point of that scene. You're talking with where he goes to his friend. I think he was he's not on medication,
right. But
he's in probably the most stressful, anxiety-filled situation of his life. Mm-hmm. He goes to his doctor, and he's prescribed this stuff before. He believes in it. So he goes to his doctor friend. So it accomplishes two things. One, it just reemphasizes he is completely stressed out because of the situation. But the second purpose it serves is it shows that there is a perception shift on him from the people around him. Because you realize that from his doctor friend point of view, he's looking insane now. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's losing it.
Right.
But I thought it served those purposes really well.
See, but I got that before the mention of him wanting drugs. Like, that whole scene, he shows up, his hair is a little disheveled, and he's like, you know, it's a conspiracy. I'm going to tell you all about it now. Here we go. And it was like, I got that. And then the thing about, I mean, how do you add in probably one of the most well-known or common drugs like Adderall into a scene in a movie about the side effects of drugs and just drop it and then do nothing with it?
I thought of it as like, because earlier in the film, his wife had mentioned when she was going in for the interview and he gave her the pills. She'd mentioned, you know, this is the good part about being married to a doctor. Mm-hmm. I get free medication. Mm-hmm. And Adderall is one of those things that, you know, people abuse anyway. So I didn't really think of it as like a high point. Like, why didn't they explain that? It's just kind of one of those things. He's stressed out clearly, and the Adderall may be something that could calm him down.
I thought he was amazing. Like, I thought his acting was impeccable. I saw the Adderall as desperation, and he was the one character that I was completely 100% invested in throughout the movie. The rest, I was just like, not so invested in him. I was completely invested in. And I thought it was really interesting that I felt like there were a lot of parts, including that part where his character was mimicking Catherine Zeta-Jones' character, where they both were kind of doing whatever it took to prove their point and to get what they needed done. And that desperation was kind of level between the two of them throughout the film.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the last main character of the film, and that's Magic Mike. So let's talk about Channing Tatum here for a second. Chris Lee, let's start with you. What did you feel of Channing Tatum's performance in the film?
I didn't feel about it at all. I love Channing Tatum. I think that he's been great and the fun movies that kind of get you like laughing. I didn't love him in this film. I think it probably could have gone to anyone, though. I don't think that there was a better or worse casting. I found him huge ego, and I didn't feel like he was committed to the things that he was saying and doing for the short time we saw him.
Dan?
I think for the short time that he was on screen, I thought he did as best as he could. I mean, there wasn't much there. Again, going back to the writing, there just wasn't much there to the character. So would I have preferred staring at somebody else? No. But you know, it wasn't anything. It was too short of a time, and there wasn't enough to do for him, really, to get a solid impression, I thought.
Jessica?
I am the hugest Channing Tatum fan because of his looks, first off. I think he's the hottest actor ever. But I also think he is the worst actor ever, which is hard for me to say because I love him. I just don't think that he connects with his characters. I've never seen a movie of his that I've walked away being like, oh my gosh, he did so great in that movie. So for this, it was just a totally empty character for me. And I didn't buy it. I mean, when he died, I wasn't sad. I was sad not to be able to look at him anymore. But I wasn't, you know, I didn't have any investment in mm-hmm. his character whatsoever. So I'm sure there are other actors out there who could have played the role 20 times better.
I am also in the camp of I've thought for a very long time that Channing Tatum is one of the worst actors in Hollywood. I mean, I kind of thought that. And then I saw Fighting, I think it was the name of the film mm-hmm. that uh-huh. he did. And that... Wow, he was so awful in that. And G.I. Joe, he's just terrible at that. And then he did this little comedy spot. It was a supporting role in The Dilemma. Mm-hmm. Terrible movie.
Oh, yeah.
But he was great in the few moments he was on. And then he did 21 Jump Street. Like Star Trek, it was a movie that I preached for about 6 months. This movie's going to suck. And I loved it. It was one of my
so funny.
Favorite comedies of the year. Yeah. And like all of a sudden, you know what? And I told him this. I talked to Channing Tatum at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. And I told him, it was great because he showed up dressed as a cop too.
Oh.
And I told him, I said, look, I've not been a fan of yours. Forever, I've not been a fan of yours. But man, you have found your stride in comedy. You do a comedy, I'll be there. I will line up to watch you in comedy. So my anticipation of Channing Tatum has grown. And so I see him coming into a film like this. Now, granted, he was at a bit of a disadvantage because he's acting alongside Rooney Mara, Jude Law, Catherine Zeta-Jones. It's going to be tough under the best of circumstances to carry himself. And he was awful.
Mm-hmm.
He was so flat in this. And you're right. When he was gone, it was like, okay, maybe the pace of this film will pick up a little bit now that the dead weight is gone. I still look forward to seeing him in some comedy. I want to see him in more comedy. And I like to see him evolve as an actor because he's got so much going for him.
Well, have any of you seen A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints?
No.
That's the movie you need to see to judge Channing Tatum as an actor. This was his first, like, real movie. Ditto Montel, he wrote a book called A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints and then did the movie version. The movie had
Shia LaBeouf,
oh, Robert Downey Jr., Rosario Dawson, a huge, huge cast. And I thought that's when I fell in love with him as an actor. That's when I thought, okay, you're not just hot. You can actually act. But I think he's one of those actors that needs to be paired with the right director to get the performance out of him. That's why I have a little more respect for him than.
I just think a lot of his roles are too predictable. Like, he does the tough guy. You know, I could have guessed he would be out of jail, you know, like he does that role a lot. And so, you know, like you said, 21 Jump Street was hilarious. And I'm sure A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints was great. So he needs to take more roles like that, where he's challenging himself and he's surprising us and he's getting more recognition in a positive way, because these kind of roles aren't really cutting it for him.
No, which is really unfortunate. Okay, let's talk in general now about the film. Let's look at the film as a whole here. And I'll start us off for this one. And this is where I'm going to go at something that you said a little bit earlier. Here's my impression of the film in general. This was, now keep in mind, I've been trashing on Contagion, all this kind of stuff. I'm actually a big Soderbergh fan. That being said, I think this is a terribly directed film with an absolutely brilliant script by Scott Burns. I thought the script and the screenplay was actually mesmerizing. I thought the story was great. When I don't see the twists coming, I mean, you suspect a little bit, this could go this way, could go this way, could go this way. But I didn't really see the twists coming. There were a lot of moments in the films, the pivotal moments of the film, that legitimately caught me by surprise, pleasantly by surprise. But to me, the problem is, this is a terribly paced film. Mm-hmm. It felt disjointed in its narrative. It didn't feel like it just naturally flowed. I never felt a natural flow to the story. It's just very chunky scene, 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 as opposed to just one cohesive, nice, natural flow to the narrative. And sometimes you can do it that way, and it fits well. Here, it did not fit. So my overall impression was, brilliant story, great script, some dynamite performances, but what I thought was the greatest strength going into the film, which was the director, I actually think that was the worst thing about the movie. Dan, what do you think?
Whew. God, so opposite camp. So opposite camp, which is why this is such a great show. I saw every twist coming with the exception of the lesbian angle. I didn't see the lesbian angle coming, but everything else, when it was supposed to be a twist, I was like, well, yeah, duh, that's where it's going. And I thought, after watching it and talking about it, I think what would have been a far more interesting movie would have been without the Wall Street insider trading angle. Like, if it had actually been a movie where this woman took prescribed medication that she thought was going to help her, and as a side effect of that prescription medication, she killed her husband. And how do you deal with that? How do you go on? I mean, and is the psychiatrist to blame who prescribed it? How accountable is he? And how much is she accountable? You know, how much was her action and how much was a side effect of the drug? As soon as it became this Ocean's 11 plot to get some money, it was just like, this is a different movie. This is, I just thought it would have been far more fascinating to have it not have been some plot to get money. I think it would have been way more interesting to explore if that was actually what was happening.
Jessica?
I didn't see any of the twists coming, and I was following the movie pretty well, and I agree with you that it was pretty jumpy, and at some point I kind of lost it for a second. I even had to ask you afterwards just to clarify where the money came from. Like, I was doing a really good job, but I do love those movies that make you think, and you can't just like watch it with your eyes closed. And I love the movies that catch me off guard. Off the top of my head, when I was watching Silver Linings Playbook, I was whispering to my husband every single thing that was going to happen next. Like, oh, she's writing the letters. Oh, she's going to say, you know. So I love the movies like this where I don't see it coming and it catches me off guard and I'm totally in for a whole new ride. And I felt like this movie, although it had its jumpy parts that kind of didn't make as much sense, it kept me invested the entire time.
Chrisley?
I had such high expectations for this film. I love Soderbergh. I loved Traffic. I love his work. I left the movie feeling completely dissatisfied. I thought the acting was great. I thought it was beautiful to watch as a picture. Like, there were shots that I was just like, God, that's so pretty. And I thought the story was amazing. They did great background on side effects and on depression and on anxiety. And I loved all of it. I just felt like it was so poorly executed. And I guess that does go back to pacing, because the beginning of the film, I was just like, "What? When's something going to happen?" And they kept saying it's a psychological thriller. And I was so ready for it to be a thriller. And not once was I at the end of my seat. And I felt like the ending was so soft that I left and I was just like, that's really? That's it? Nothing? And so there were some great parts for it. The acting was impeccable, but I just felt like it was poorly executed.
All right, well, let's wrap this thing up here. Let's, at a scale of 1 to 5, Jessica, let's start with you. What score do you give Side Effects and why, briefly?
I give it a 7. I thought it was a great storyline.
7 out of 5. That's oh. So you're like beyond Oscar.
Wow. In love with this film.
1 to 5. A 3. Okay. We're all on the same page. I really enjoyed it, and I thought it was a great storyline. Like I said, I got lost there for a second, but once I got back on track, it really caught my attention, and I wasn't bored at all. And that's my thing. I get bored during movies that are too long with nothing going for it. And I didn't get bored.
Dan.
I'm going to give it a 1, because if I gave it less than that, I think I might be lynched. but there was nothing in this movie for me. I was disappointed pretty much across the board, with the exception of, you know, Catherine Zeta-Jones and Jude Law. Performance-wise, I thought that was pretty good. But I thought the pacing was slow. I thought the story could have been far more compelling if they had made just a couple of different decisions. So the beginning, it drags so much, and it just like get there, and then they get there, and I'm like, I don't care. I wish I cared.
Yeah.
Crystal Lee?
I'm going to go with the 2.5. 2.5. There were parts, like I said, it was beautiful to watch, but I want something of more substance than pretty pictures. So the acting, great, but I could have done without it.
And once again, the correct answer is 3.
Or 7.
This is a fantastic story with great plot twists along the way, and a really nice, to me, satisfying ending that was unfortunately mired by one bad performance and just badly directed with terrible pacing, very disjointed story flow. Overall, I think it was worth it, but not all of us around here do. And I think that'll do it for us.
Yeah, guys, we want to let you know that this is obviously something that we're doing it that's new. We want you to go to iTunes and check us out. Rate and comment. Tell us what you think. We do read them, so we will comment back. We love that you're joining us for these new movie shows. Tell everybody where they can find you guys.
You can find me on thecinemasource.com. Make sure you put in the, because without it, bad news bears. Thecinemasource.com.
Find me on Twitter at @IamJessicaKing, and let us know what you guys think.
You can find me at amctheaters.com and on Twitter at John Campia.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Chris Lee. Thank you for joining us for our Side Effects movie after show, and we will see you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.